Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Oh my goodness, hello friends and welcome. What a weekend it was.
Yes.
What didn't we cover?
Well, I don't know, Chris. We've done definitely our 150th radio show in the longest month of the year.
Oh my goodness, yeah, January has been very long. However, we were discussing on Saturday, this is a really interesting story, a tennis player who caught an awful lot of flack from the Twitter mob, and people are divided. Was he rude? Was he not? We discussed it. Kira and I, we thrashed it out, and I think we came to the best conclusion of everyone.
Exactly, Chris.
Yeah.
We were talking about it as well. I know that lads have it tough. You know, you guys having all those muscles.
Yes.
But we told everyone the hilarious story about a personal trainer who used a mother and baby parking bay because his muscles were too big.
Listen, we're actually very gentle, sensitive souls, us men. And we also discovered, now it wasn't just for men, but we did discover with new research that we discussed that when watching a football match, you can be incredibly emotionally invested. They put all of these heart monitors and brainwave monitors on people, and they tested saliva, and they found that watching a football match can be extremely stressful if
exactly.
you're a fan.
And speaking of which, it was the 25th anniversary of Eric Cantona kung fu kicking a member yes. of the stadium against Crystal Palace all those years ago, 25 years. So myself and Chris gave that a special mention.
What a wonderful day it was to be broadcasting on. And then, of course, here as well as that, we were discussing our friend, this 3,000-year-old mummy.
Oh,
and the sounds that it made.
Oh, boy.
Researchers managed to recreate what they think a mummy would have sounded like 3,000 years ago.
You know, Chris, I don't think I've ever heard anything sound so beautiful.
It is the most disappointing bollocks you can imagine. But listen.
And myself and Chris, we are thinking of applying for work in the Great Blasket Islands this weekend after 23,000 other people applied for a job to run a coffee shop over there.
That's so you and I, though. After
I
we see 23,000 people, we're like, hey, we should do that. We should have done this like 2 months ago.
I know.
Now we're the kids doing the homework on the way to school. Anyway, listen, Kira, all of that and more. Enjoy. Yes, like that's almost unfair.
Yeah, I still remember that game. Actually,
oh,
do you know what?
Goodness.
I don't think a lot of people will ever forget that game.
No, this is no joke. I have
it
that game
so
saved at home. Like, Kira, that's a monumental event in football.
Yeah, that's
Jesus.
True. That
that's history. You'd be telling the grandkids about that. Anyway, there we go. Toads and I, Dance Monkey here on 2FM. What is happening, everyone? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
And we are discussing a study into just how intense and physical the impact watching your favourite football team
yeah.
can be. I mean, this is heavy stuff, Kira.
Intense levels of physical stress. and this is, it's kind of bittersweet, the study, because the way they found out was kind of heartbreaking.
Sure.
So the Oxford study, they tested saliva
yeah.
from Brazilian fans during their historic loss to Germany at the 2014 World Cup. And that's the game myself and Chris were talking about. It found levels of the hormone cortisol rocketed during the 7-1 home defeat in the semi-final.
No, but come on, that's a very unfair set of circumstances to do the study in. Brazil were the host. They were being
the
beaten at home
in the World Cup.
Yeah, they were beaten 7-1. Like, those are very unusual circumstances.
No, because you get to 3-1, Chris, there's a chance that you could come back.
Of course.
4-1 less, 5-1 even less, 6-1, oh, good luck. And 7-1 is just mean, you know?
So you see, it's so funny because even there's a shot, it's only lasts about, we'll say, half a second of the German manager literally, like, putting his palm down, like, to the lads and going, lads, he's off now. You know what I mean? We've won. Just leave them alone.
Yeah.
Like, let the boys now just kind of go out with a little bit of dignity.
Yeah.
But 7-1. Akira, I'm sorry now. Do you not remember the night we were in here to bring us back? Maybe you don't, because maybe you didn't have the same intense physical reaction I had, Kira. But do you remember Ireland versus Italy?
I do.
2016, we were in the studio next door here,
yep.
Kira, watching it on that TV.
5 minutes before we went on air.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the 85th minute,
yeah.
Robbie Brady scored. Kira, I nearly fainted.
I
nearly vomited before we did that show.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
They found that it's pretty intense,
it's
that
dangerous.
The cortisol levels rocket. And did I read that it increases the chance of a heart attack?
Yes, it does. But researchers found, this is interesting, no difference in stress levels between men and women during the game, despite preconceptions that men are more bonded to their football teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women care just as much, guys. But anyway.
So there was none of that, oh, you know, the girls were able to detach themselves and be like, oh, boys, it's only a game. No, when you're home and your team's losing 7-1 in the quarterfinal of the World Cup, it don't matter.
Yeah. Fans who are strongly fused with their team, that is, have a strong sense of being one with their team. They experience the greatest psychological stress response when watching a match. And that is Dr. Martha Newson. She's a researcher at the Centre for Study of Social Cohesion at Oxford. Fans who are more casual supporters also experience stress, but not so extremely. So to be like, me and you watching a semi-final in Wimbledon and you watching it casually while I'd be watching it extremely.
Does tennis have this impact on you?
Yeah, I told you. I had to bend over in the kitchen yesterday to gather myself and to breathe properly because Roger Federer had gone to a tiebreaker.
But is it only Roger Federer, I mean?
Oh, yeah, I don't care about
so
anything
else. So it wouldn't be just if you got into a good game of tennis.
Chris.
Yeah, okay, so it's specifically Roger Federer. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you, absolutely. No, Kira, I get you. There's nothing wrong with it. Tell you, I'm that way
but
when we're
care,
watching Ireland
care.
Football.
And
yeah,
no matter what sport you happen to imprint on. You know, I know you love football and there's so many football fans out there. Whether you're into swimming, whether you're into athletics or tennis, you know, you're going to, if you care about something, basically, and if you want something to win,
sure,
you're going to maybe suffer these corsetal levels.
But Kira, you don't understand. It's the Ireland football team. But we're all playing on that field, Kira. When they win, the country wins, Kira. That's why we're so invested.
I understand that.
It's for all 5 million of us.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, apparently increased cortisol levels can lead to raised blood pressure and damage an already weakened heart. So be careful. You know?
You be careful too.
I will, absolutely. I can't believe we didn't make more of a deal of it, of course, on the 25th anniversary of Eric Cantona karate kicking somebody in the chest. Paul, who reminded us of it, has also pointed out there's a great Lego recreation of it. Paul, what are you? Like this, the biggest fan of this event that happened. Paul probably has a little like World War II memorabilia.
That everything changed for Paul.
Yeah, must have been.
Yeah.
All right, listen. How about...
I've seen that Lego recreation, by the way, and it's very funny.
Is it good?
It's very good.
Okay, very good, very good. What a day. So listen, I'm sorry, we should completely redo today. I can't, but we should rip everything off the drawing board. Today, of course, is the launch of the exciting new weekend schedule, but also what a day to launch it, Kira.
On the 25th anniversary.
Oh my God, it's so significant.
Eric Cantona's Kung Fu Kick.
I wonder, did we do that on... I think we did. I think we said to the director general of RTE, we want to launch the new schedule on the same day Eric Cantona kicked that man in the ribs. And it'll be wonderful.
Oh.
Speaking of weird sports star behaviour, Kira, what is going on? You know more about this than I do. This tennis player, Elliot Becentrit.
He's French.
Yes. Oh, so it's probably Becentrit. Sorry. Excuse me. Cantona. Yeah.
You know, because we're celebrating French people on the show today.
Because we're celebrating rude French people.
Yeah. No, so Twitter was in a frenzy, obviously. The Australian Open is on at the minute. And a lot of people were kind of up in arms when one of the tennis players, he's a 21-year-old French tennis player, and he asked the ball girl to peel a banana for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, this man is so rude. How dare he? It caused huge controversy. But I went, wait a second. A tennis player isn't just going to ask, you know, a ball girl to peel a banana for him for no good reason. So he came out afterwards to defend himself and he said, my fingers were all bandaged. He said, I just put cream on them to stop me from sweating.
Sure.
And he asked the ball girl, would she mind peeling the banana? But the umpire got involved and basically said, no, this girl is not your slave. She's not your servant. And you peel the banana yourself. So obviously something like that, because there's video footage of it as well. It went viral all over Twitter, all over social media. And people were, it was a bit mean. They were like, tennis player ranked 229 in the world, ask ball girl to peel banana. You
where's
know?
She ranked? What's her ranking in tennis? Yeah. If we're going to report it like that.
You know, so actually, excuse me, he's ranked 231st in the world.
Oh, that's even worse.
Isn't
wow,
right?
I could have tolerated 229. So hold on a second, because I'm looking at this, and in fairness, he's clearly, look, obviously as a tennis player, his grip is hugely important. He has to prevent blisters. He has to prevent it slipping. He has to prevent too much sweat on his hands.
It was 6-5 in the final set. He was winning, you know, all these kind of things to take on board as well. He said, I asked the ball girl to peel the banana for me as I had put some cream on my hands in order not to sweat. She'd done it once before at the beginning of the match, but the second time the chair umpire stepped in and told me that the ball girl was not my slave and I had to peel the banana myself. I could not believe that the umpire said that, and I find it incredible how this situation got out of control on social media without people knowing what really happened on course.
Yeah, to be fair, looking at this video as well, I really don't think he was trying to be a diva. I think the poor man had just treated his hands and was like, would you mind?
Yeah,
like, I mean, I'd
completely.
Like a bit of a... Yeah, for God's
you know?
Sake.
So I wonder what the narrative would have been. Were this a female tennis player? I wonder what the narrative would have been if it was someone who was ranked in the top three. You know, it just seems a little bit unfair.
I hear you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
No, you see, I'm not, and I'll tell you why. The terrible thing is, right, this headline sounds so inspiring and so exciting.
It's been everywhere over the past couple of days.
Voice of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy reproduced by 3D printing a vocal tract. It sounds incredible.
I clicked straight into that article,
it sounds
article,
so
Chris.
Innovative.
And then I play the video to hear what a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy sounds like.
So basically...
Oh boy, Chris.
Obviously, as we know, the Egyptian mummies are very well preserved because of how they're mummified and then buried and put into these kind of tombs and everything. Generally, they're almost not intact, but they certainly fare better than a 3,000-year-old body usually fares. So they said, wow, this is intact enough. We could recreate the sounds this mummy would have made with its vocal cords by 3D printing them. However,
I mean, I've only really ever heard mummies talk in like movies and stuff.
Sure.
You know?
And they're always like, I'm a mummy. I know that's Dracula, but you know what I mean?
They have
that kind of
freaky female voice.
Sure. They have that ethereal kind of cosmic woo. However, Kira, my goodness, this wasn't quite as impressive or theatric, was it?
Okay, we just have to set this up. Okay, so the sound that you're going to hear is the sound of his vocal tract in the position he is lying in the sarcophagus. Okay.
Okay.
So that's, he's lying down.
Of course. He's lying down, also, probably with his arms folded. And
yeah, David Howard, one of the academics behind the project, he described it as falling somewhere between the vowels in the English words bed and bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is incredible.
Okay. Imagine, Kira, we're going to hear a 3,000-year-old mummy talk. Do you want it? Are you ready?
Hold on. Let me just pull my seat in closer to the microphone.
This is going to be so exciting.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
do it together. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that just majestic?
Oh, Chris, incredible.
Linguistic.
It sounds like me waking up in the morning.
Wow. This was definitely worth spending probably hundreds of thousands on a 3D printer, on a CAT scan machine.
Imagine being the 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy, been like, this is it. The world is going to hear my voice for the first time in 3,000 years, and then it's...
Maybe though this, like, no, maybe we're being overly hard on this. Maybe this is how he actually spoke. Like, maybe if we went back to Egypt now, they'd be like, oh yeah, that's John, yeah. What's he up to these days?
Why don't we compare that, Chris?
No, hold on. Imagine being this researcher, right? And he's like, guys, I figured out a way we can make the mummy talk. And then everyone in the room's like, oh God, yeah, go for it, man. Wait, we can recreate this? And he's like, yeah, watch. If I was the dean of that university, I'd be like, pal, get the hell out of this office right now. Have we run out of things to do? Like, is this... Are we just...
Oh my God. Anyway, there you go.
Sorry, Kira, what were you going to suggest?
I was going to say, do we have any clips of what mummies sound like in the movies? Just to compare.
Well, Kira, this is The Mummy movie with Tom Cruise from 2017. They always have voice, like they're speaking in like Aramaic or something, and they're like, woo, and it's all very, you know, ethereal and... You know, their voices are always echoey, they're always very dramatized, and then
just
I want this as my ringtone when someone's ringing. Imagine if this was your phone alarm. I think this is probably the greatest waste of time in the scientific community.
In fairness to Howard, he cautions that the sound they reproduced is just the sound of his voice and isn't the Egyptian priest actually speaking.
Oh, is that not him actually speaking?
No. Although is something that might be possible in the future to revolutionise how we connect with the past.
I thought that was how Egyptian people spoke. Just this all the time. All right. My goodness. All right, Kira. Enough of this Egyptian prince. Would you like to enter our quiz of the week? Just tell us which track we've reversed here. Kira and I felt it was appropriate for this next story that we accompanied it with some fitting music, because this man that we're about to talk about, Kira, he's on another level.
Oh, he is, Chris, okay?
His name is also Chris.
All right,
however,
okay,
he goes by another name, Kira.
Yeah, he does. He's a personal trainer and he's known as the Greek Stallion.
Yes.
And he claims that he has no option but to use designated parent and child spaces because he is so goddamn muscular, Chris.
I have the same problem. You don't know what it's like here of being a muscular god like me and Chris Goodwin, the Greek Stallion from the UK.
He said, I am a muscle model champion. Yeah. I'm a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there are parking bays, I never bloody use them. I'll just go and park in the same parent and child bay, even if I'm on my own. I always do it. I don't give a crap what people think of me. I'll do what I want. I can't fit out of my car. I'm too big.
He is a very muscular man, Kira. As a fellow extremely muscular man, I can identify with him. Like those, there really should be, you know how when you go to the parking or whatever and there is like the space for the parent and the child and there's a little painted thing of a parent and a child.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a painted one of a muscular man, Kira. For me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And of course this man here. Because they're making them narrower. They're trying to fit in more and more car parking spaces. And it is a big problem. He says he doesn't think it's selfish. He really doesn't.
He said people take it way over the top because you're parking in a bloody parent and child bay. They want to bloody fight you like Mike Tyson would. I still think anybody would be able to park there, and that's not being selfish. I think I should have my own bay saying the Greek Stallion's bay.
He's dead right.
Well, Chris, he appeared on Channel 5's show Britain's Parking Hell 2020 to talk about his woes.
He has
people do anything to get onto TV these days.
Can I tell you, he has very broad shoulders. This is his problem, because I'm looking at him, and apart from his shoulders, he could probably fit in most normal day-to-day situations, mm-hmm. as in through doors, in parking spaces, things that are designed for your average human. But his shoulders are oddly wide, if you don't mind me saying, and I'm not body-shaming him here or anything. He looks great and all that. But he has really overdeveloped his, I think they're called deltoids. I love how this man was on television saying he should have his own parking space that, like, mothers and children. You know what I mean?
I know.
I think his tone is slightly wrong, given that, you know, of course, it's a very noble job being a mother. Sometimes the kids are with you. I'm sure they're an inconvenience. This man is saying his muscles are an inconvenience, no. And that he needs his own parking space.
Some people take issue, obviously, with him parking in the spaces, and one woman confronted him about it, but he said that he was with his pregnant partner at the time who needed to be able to get out. So that kind of changes the whole story. But then he claims that he does it when it's just him in the car too, and he was unrepentant, saying when people are taking up lines in parking bays or using two spaces, that's annoying.
Yep.
But if someone needs to use a parent and child bay, they should be able to do it without any judgment.
Oh, God. Kieran, do you know what is so annoying, in fairness? Making concessions for pregnant women. Oh, my God. I mean, do they ever stop? He's so right, Kieran. My God, he's bang on the money with this one. I love how, though, what happened was, you know the way every supervillain has an origin story, Kieran? I love how it started. He dabbled in it once because he was like, well, I mean, the wife's pregnant. I mean, surely I can park here if the wife's pregnant. But then, you know, he got used to the lifestyle, Kieran.
That's it.
Couldn't do without it.
I can see the Hollywood movie of his life right now.
He could play himself because he's looking great, like... They wouldn't need to hire any personal trainers or anything.
There you go. Chris Goodwin is his name, and he goes by the Greek Stallion.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So if that tickles your fancy, check him out.
on Parking Hell. What's the name of the show? Britain's Parking Hell. Actually, this show's causing a lot of controversy. If this is the show I'm thinking of, yeah, Britain's Parking Hell. A dude got fired for he was a delivery driver. This is only within the last week. He was a delivery driver for a company. He appears on this show with the parking warden telling him to move because he was parked illegally. The company fired him.
Wow.
After seeing him on this. This show is causing chaos here. This show is too dangerous. Anyway, look, on the way for you. On the way for you, nothing. Let's play 2 hours of this. Till Dave Fanning at 1 o'clock, it's just this music. Yes, indeed. There we go. Afro Jack and Icona Pop.
Oh, my God.
We
could got you give cool. me a heads up when we're about to come back on air, please?
Sorry,
just
Kira's
shouting
here
at
shouting at
the screen.
Literally shouting at the TV. As
shouting abuse at the tennis player who's playing against Roger Federer.
As
right
we
now.
Keep an eye on the Roger Federer and Fusovic.
He's a Hungarian tennis player, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's, well, anyway, listen.
Not that I'm watching the Australian Open while I'm doing my radio show, just in case any of my bosses happen to be listening.
Kira, I hate being your dad, but who's winning? Who's
Roger
winning now,
Kira?
Who's winning now on the TV that
Roger.
You watch? I see. Okay, fair
I
enough.
Mean, on the TV that's outside the studio that I can't see.
Adam is updating us.
Yes.
While we work.
Yes, Adam is a huge Roger Federer fan, and he insisted that we put on the TV in the studio so that he could follow it while also working.
I think he's a big Hungarian
I'm
tennis player fan.
I'm not one to judge.
No, I hear you. Whatever he's into. Hey, have you seen this? I don't know if we get this job, if we're going to be able to watch TV while we're doing this job.
You know,
Kira and I need to put in an application.
We do need to put in an application. And Chris, for a couple of reasons, because I think this is our way out. You know the way we talk about sometimes getting off the grid?
Oh, I want to live off the grid,
yeah,
man.
But not only that, though, we also have some serious qualifications.
Kira, let's give everyone a little taste of what's going on here before we get ahead of ourselves. Look at you, Kira, tripping over yourself. We need to...
Advert for two summer jobs on the Great Blasket Island has attracted 23,000 applications from Ireland and beyond. The couple seeking help to run a cafe along with cottage accommodation say they have been completely overwhelmed by the response.
Oh,
now, wait a
my
second.
Goodness.
We'd have to share a cottage, though.
You have to share it with these two, I think. Or maybe we'd have our own, like, living quarters.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure of the living arrangement, if you catch my drift.
What kind of emails?
They're coming from all over. They're coming from...
This is the two of them now perusing the applications, we'll say.
Canada, Alaska, Iran.
It began as a simple advertisement seeking two people for the summer. But the reaction has been overwhelming.
The 22,118 there, but it was up.
Okay, so over 22,000.
I thought it was 23, Kira. Jeez, we've loads of space now if it's only 22,100. That makes it way easier.
Yeah, so this advert went up on Facebook, on social media, about just 10 days ago, okay? So Alice Hayes and Billy O'Connell, they're seeking two people to run a small cafe and three cottages from April to October. And the successful candidates will stay on the uninhabited island, on the Great Blasket Island. So there you go.
Kira, many times you and I have spoken about just going off the grid,
yep,
ditching all of the modern technologies and just living in as isolated a way as we can. Because yep, I think we get a little overwhelmed sometimes.
We do. Now, Chris.
Yes.
Straight away, we are from places of natural beauty.
Oh, God, yes.
The Blasket Islands.
Yeah.
So naturally beautiful, okay?
Of course.
You've got your Gaeilge.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
So that will stand for us.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay,
Kira.
Right.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have that. You were, of course, you were a waitress. I was a waiter.
Yes.
You do a lot of kind of interpersonal stuff when you were a waitress.
I'd be brilliant with people.
You'd be good at that part.
To talk to those Americans, Chris.
Oh, you'd love it.
Yeah, I'd love it.
I think you'd Irish yourself up more.
I would.
Like, I think you'd, for some reason, put on an Irish accent when you're talking to them. I think you'd be like, "Hello, my name's Kira," and they'd be like, "Isn't that lovely?" Because
no. But then we could like wow them with, "Yeah, no, we left the bright lights of
the mainland
RTE radio,
yeah, of the mainland." Exactly.
We decided to get off the grid.
The two jobs involve running a small cafe and three guest cottages on the Blasket.
Thank you, Pascal. That's enough. He's trying to take our job, man. But
also,
listen, you're dead
you could,
right.
Yeah. You could give a tour about
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah, I could.
I could talk about Donald Gleeson, one of my favourite topics.
I don't know if we need a tour on that, though. Like, I mean, I don't know what the policy is. I don't know if we'd need a specific tour on you liking Donald Gleeson. Like, maybe, Kira, we could expand into that in the future, depending on, of course. But you have to understand.
Oh, no, I can imagine. I'd be brilliant. I'd be telling Americans, Donald Gleeson was in Star Wars, and it was incredible. And then I'd look out over the bay and the islands, and I'd say something along the lines of, "But that was a different life I led."
And then would this music start playing again?
The two jobs involve running a small cafe.
That Fadog that's playing as they're doing this report. Well, listen, Kira, we'll keep our eye on it. Of course, we would be sharing the island with Alice and Billy, who currently work there.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd get on great with Alice and Billy.
I'm not sure.
I do. I think we'd get on great. But Chris, can I also point out as well, though, can you, due to the response and the response from all over the world, like they even had an application from a 79-year-old and an 83-year-old couple.
Well, they're out, surely.
Chris.
Surely we can rule them out. Come on.
But it's very interesting, isn't it, how many people jumped at that. Oh, wait, Chris, there's no electricity.
Oh, forget it.
Cooking is done on gas cookers. Light is provided by candles. Heating is a solid fuel stove.
There are no
creature comfort. Oh my God, there's no hot showers.
I'm withdrawing my application immediately.
Screw that.
This story is even worse than I remember it being. Like, I remember reading this a day or two ago and thinking, God, these are a pair of idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked at it again and thought, Jesus. When I thought about it again, I was like, this is even worse.
Again, it's just a timely reminder to never, horseplay on an airplane.
You know the one place we're all supposed to behave is on an aeroplane.
It's an aeroplane, guys.
I mean, it's pretty much the one universal thing that we're all supposed to behave on and get in line with, but not these
couple. Yeah, so a couple was kicked off a flight after cabin crew traced a threatening Wi-Fi hotspot name back to them.
Now, just before you say it, Kira, sometimes if I'm sharing the Wi-Fi, like you've done this, I'm sure. You turn on your Wi-Fi hotspotter to put your laptop on it if you're traveling or whatever. Or someone says, "Oh, can I use your data? Mine isn't working." Whatever. So you put it on and you call the network like Chris's phone or something. You know, something nice and easy.
Very
and you say,
unoriginal.
There's Chris's phone, man. If you want to connect to that, the password is password one or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something like that. But this is the worst network name I've ever seen to have on a plane.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a delayed GoJet service. It was operating as a Delta connection flight and was due to fly from Detroit to Montreal.
Yeah.
When a personal Wi-Fi network named, are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Remote detonator was detected by the crew and was never switched off. And that's according to passengers. So those on board were asked by cabin crew to turn off all their phones and Wi-Fi hotspots before being warned that the police would be called if they did not comply with the request.
God almighty.
Yep. So police boarded the aircraft. They removed a 42-year-old man and a 31-year-old woman from Quebec. Both were arrested but later released pending an investigation.
Could you imagine that though? Because sometimes I have to be honest with you. When I'm on a plane, I do that, as in I'll open my Wi-Fi tab and I'll go, geez, I wonder if there's any Wi-Fi. Like, I wonder if there's anything I can connect onto. I wonder if the plane has Wi-Fi or if someone has put on a hotspot. And imagine if the chilling feeling you'd get if you opened your phone, opened the Wi-Fi tab while you're on a plane and you were like, Wi-Fi 1, locked network, remote detonator. You'd probably get a little jolt.
Yes, you would.
Up your spine,
yes, you
I would imagine.
The flight eventually took off after a 5-hour delay.
God, oh,
mm-hmm. Like
remote detonator.
It's a little bit scary. I mean, like, there's way funnier Wi-Fi hotspot names out there, isn't there?
Like, I remember this was a big thing, especially on Reddit a while ago, where like you could give your Wi-Fi funny names, and you know, it was all in good fun.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't remote detonator or Al Qaeda or this kind of stuff.
No,
it was all
like,
very
drop it like a hotspot.
That's clever. See, you that's know? A good thing.
That
for
is
your
very
Wi-Fi.
Good. I love this one. A Lannister never forgets.
As in LAN network. Yeah. I understand.
And what's LAN?
Local area network.
There you go. Girls Gone Wireless.
See, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's
Kira,
funny.
That's good, clean fun.
You see, this is it. These are funny ones. Yeah. Not remote detonator. It burns when IP.
I believe Y can fi. See? Y can fi. All right.
That was even, that'd be a funny one as well.
Sure.
Why fight the inevitable?
Nacho Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
As in like, so it's not your Wi-Fi. Yeah. Nacho Wi-Fi. All right.
Thou shalt not convert thy neighbor's Wi-Fi. Like, these are all funny ones.
They could have done any of these, Kira, but no, they had to take the joke that little bit too far and do remote detonator.
Land of milk and honey.
That's nice.
That's a very nice one, isn't
these
it?
These are great.
The land of the free. Why fight when we can make love?
I did your Wi-Fi last night. Oh my God, what a podcast.
Boom.
Listen, will you give it 5 stars and will you give it a nice review? And we'll be back next week. We'll have all kinds of podcasting and tomfoolery and shenanigans going on. A few shout outs, a few people have emailed us and all of that. And we will get to all of that, Kira. But until then, for myself, Chris, goodbye. From Kira.
Goodbye.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.